The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Friday morning indeed, 9:02. Built Ford Tough Studio, CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. A lot of football this week, as you can imagine. Week 17. If you're a fan of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills, man, you got a lot to look forward to. If you're a fan of the teams like the Jets and Giants, it sucks. It has not been good this season. And joining us now, I give her a lot of credit because she does a really good job, specifically with these interviews off the field when the team isn't doing so hot. Janae Coakley from SNY joins us. I know you know Chris. Nice to talk to you, Janae. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? Happy holidays.
And you as well. So I know you're heading to the facility now. I'm going to start with this question, and that is, when a team is having the type of season they are having, how difficult is your job? Especially, I just mentioned the interviews off the field. Like, that is not an easy situation, and I know you get well-received by the guys, but how difficult is the job when the season's going the way it's going?
I mean, not fun.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, after this is my 15th season, I've gotten pretty good at it. I always joke with people that, hey, it's easy to interview the players after they win. It's when they lose, it's the hard part. So I've gotten real good at that skill. But I always give the guys the credit because, like I just said, it's easy to talk when they win. And they've got a good group of guys that always come out. They always, you know, talk after. I always make it a point, though, for when they do win, that I talk to the Jamie and Sherwood, the C.J. Mosley, the Quincy Williams, the Tyler Conklin, the guys that always talk when they lose.
Janae, you just mentioned 15 years in now, so that means if everyone does the math, you started right around the time things were going well with Rex and company and, you know, making the playoff runs, but obviously you've been through quite a few years now of things not going so great. So because of this season and all the expectations and Aaron Rodgers' presence and people thinking they were going to, at minimum, go back to the playoffs, how do you stack this one up against some of the other disappointments that you've had to unfortunately be around over the course of the last 10 or 15 years?
Well, see, it's funny because, like you said, my first year was the second AFC championship game with Rex Ryan. And before that, I was with Indianapolis. And the worst season I ever covered was a 10-6 season, and they end up winning the Super Bowl that year. So I'm like, oh, wow, this is how this works. It's NFL 5 years in. We go to the playoffs. We win Super Bowls. This is great. I haven't been to the playoffs since. But I haven't covered a playoff since. I would say this is the worst one of all, because there, like you said, there's so much hype and there's so much talent on this team. I mean, you have the Garrett Wilson, the Breece Hall, Sauce. I mean, down the line, both sides of the ball, like, there was a lot of talent and so much hype. And to be honest with you, I still can't put my finger on why they haven't been more successful.
Yeah.
So I feel like this has been the reason, because before, like, some teams overachieved. And not even thinking that they underachieved, because they have the talent, they work hard. I just don't know why it can't be put together.
You know, that to me is, I think exactly what you just said is the most confusing part, because, you know, some teams like the Giants, they've been injured, injury prone, and also talent-wise, not so much. But this team does have the talent. And I know you don't get to watch practice. I'm well aware how that works. You get to watch those 15 minutes or so. But you are around the guys enough, you know, in the locker room and at games and stuff like that. Do you get the sense that it's a cohesive group? Like, from the outside looking in, they seem fine to me. They just don't seem to execute. Or is there a bigger problem there? What do you see from where you're at?
No, these guys, they all get along great. I mean, it's a cohesive group. I mean, the defense really loves each other. I mean, so same with the offense. I just think, like, for some reason, it just isn't clicking, or didn't click. I mean, the gig's up now. You have two games left. I don't know what it was. I really can't. I think that's been the biggest problem. Okay, they get rid of Coach Sala, and then that's going to fix the problem. Well, that doesn't fix the problem at all. In fact, it probably got worse. But Jeff Albert, the guys love Jeff Albert. He's such a great guy. And you would think, you know, like I said before, I always thought he deserved a shot at being a head coach. I'm not sure a head coach and defensive coordinator in the middle of a season was necessarily the greatest opportunity. But it's just, I don't know. The guys do get along. They work hard. They're still in it. I mean, they're still playing to the whistle. It's just they make boneheaded mistakes, and they'll say this. They shoot themselves in the foot, and by week 16, 17, you can't be doing that.
All right, so they get along. So on the personal side of things, it doesn't seem to be big issues. But what about the presence of Rodgers? I mean, the last couple of weeks, the offense has kind of turned it around a little bit, and you've seen maybe more performance representative of what we expected all season long. But you've outlined the talent that they have, the young talent specifically, the Garrett Wilsons, the Breece Halls, so on and so forth. The presence of Rodgers, his career, him being almost larger than life in some aspects, do you sense guys like Breece or Garrett or some of the other younger players who have not been around a big-time veteran quarterback the last few years or one as established as Rodgers, did they maybe play tight, feel the pressure of trying to live up to the expectations, not wanting to disappoint a future Hall of Famer who obviously has kind of parachuted in here and was supposed to be the savior?
Yeah, I actually do. I think that's a really good description of it, because here's the deal. I got to watch Peyton Manning for 4 years, you would think, and it was unbelievable. And Aaron Rodgers has been in this league for 20 years, and let's be realistic. You and I, and we all know, the generations are different. Athletes are different than when they first came in to now. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm saying it's different. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who likes it exactly the way he wants it. He's proven himself. He's a four-time MVP. He knows what he's doing. And I think some of the guys aren't used to this, aren't used to a guy who is so meticulous and so, this is how it has to be. This is how you do it. Because I've done it before. I've won this way. And I think it's more like, I mean, I don't know if I'm just making the same as, like, it's a father figure. Like, wait a second. I'm disappointing dad. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I can't do it. I can't do everything right. I can't do it right. I have to do it. And then it kind of just works up, and it just has been working out that way. And again, Rodgers likes it his way. This new generation likes it their way. So coming together, I'm not sure if the ways are exactly the way it's parallel lines, and they're not intersecting.
So building off that, as we come to the end of this season, and, you know, Rodgers this week has been adamant, hey, I'm going to play. I know he's been full practice the last couple of days, even though he's got the knee injury. Everything you just described, meticulous, trying to, you know, build the culture the right way, so on and so forth, showing the young guys how it's supposed to be done. But you've also got this awkward dynamic now of his future being in question, whether it's his relationship with Woody, not knowing who the next GM and the head coach is going to be. How do you think that dynamic plays out the rest of the way and into the offseason, where he's still trying to be that leader type A guy, but everyone in the locker room has to know right now it's unsure whether he's going to be here next year or not? Like, that's got to be sort of an awkward, tricky dynamic down the stretch here, no?
Yeah, you want to tell me how, you let me know how to work that one out, and you would solve the key. I don't know what's going to happen, because here's the deal. Rodgers deserves the right to play the last two games. You know what I'm saying? And another question, who's going to be their quarterback next year?
Yeah.
Who replaces them? So, what? Like you said, there's this tricky dynamic of, okay, is Rodgers coming back? Is he not coming back? Is he going to retire? Is he going to be with a different team? Do the Jets even want him back? And these younger guys are like, wait a second, this didn't work this year. So what do you want me to do now?
Let me ask you this, Jhené Coakley, SNY with us. On that, and I know CeeLo's talked about, you know, the knee that's kind of flared up here the last week or so. could you, watching him from afar, it didn't seem like he was himself early on. And the last month, he seems like, again, I don't know if he's injured or not, but he looks more and more like himself. He's moving around more. He's been more elusive. He's running more. And it seems more like the, like that 99-yard drive on Sunday was a, was phenomenal. Is it fair to say that we're, I know it's been 2 years in the making, but this is actually what he still is. And if that is the case, why wouldn't you bring him back for another year? If in fact that's the Rodgers that you're going to get.
I mean, I can definitely tell you he was definitely injured earlier this season. I mean, he had a hamstring injury that I heard was pretty bad, knee, ankle. And again, he's 41, just turned 41 December, what, 2nd?
Yep.
And coming off an Achilles. That's got to get used to that, has to be able to play with that. So the first couple of weeks of the season, I think that happened. Then he got hurt. And then, like you said, we finally got to see what he is. But Aaron Rodgers comes with a lot, as we all know. And I'm not, do the Jets want that back with them? Do they want all of every Tuesday talking, the camera? I'm not sure. Do the younger guys want that? I don't know. But like you said, we've seen glimmers. And this is what used to be, that 99-yard drive. Can you imagine this offense? And if you look at his numbers are very productive.
Yep.
For a New York Jets quarterback. I mean, he's on pace, I think, to break a record if he gets, like, what, 400 and some yards? A Jets record. So the numbers are productive. He has put up numbers. So I think that what has to weigh the good and the bad. And don't forget, a new GM's coming in, a new coach is coming in. Is a new GM and a new coach going to want him back?
So this would be my follow-up to that. How do you sell the fan base on, if you're not, they're two, with the four wins, and let's say, even say they get one more, not that I expect them to win Sunday, but if they win four or five games, they're not going to be in line to get one of the top quarterbacks. Perhaps they draft one in the second, third round, who knows? How do you sell the fan base then on a quarterback that you might draft that's not ready, and then going and getting another veteran just to plug in for a year, knowing it's not going to be a good year when you had Aaron Rodgers? I just don't know how you sell that to the fans.
Well, you sell the coach, you sell the culture, you sell. If you get a good coach in, if you get a Mike Vrabel, if you get, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, you get a coach that's going to change. I mean, look at some of these teams. Look at what Washington, D.C. did. Washington did, the commander. Granted, they got Jaden McDaniels with Key. Listen, they have the talent. You got the Brees still under contract. You have Garrett under contract. You have on defense Jermaine Johnson, Sauce, Michael Carter, Jamien Sherwood is sold in, Quincy Williams. You have, Quinnen Williams. You have pieces. It's not as if it's a rebuild and start from scratch. And bless the Jets fans' hearts. They just love their team. They hate them, but they love them too. So I think you're just one piece away. Like we always, I feel like I've been saying this for like 3 or 4 years. Like, Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be that piece. And who's to say, like you said, one season off where he's not rehabbing, he's not fixing his Achilles, he's used to the offense. Granted, there'll be a new offense coming in. So, I don't know. You just got to sell hope and optimism, and you get a good coach in, I think you can sell it. Like, a Mike Vrabel, how excited would you be to get a Mike Vrabel in here?
That's true.
All right, so let's play the hypothetical game. Let's go on the assumption Rodgers is back. Let's play that game for a second. He's back. That likely means Devontae Adams is back as well. We understand what their relationship and dynamic and chemistry and connection is. And he's been productive since he's gotten here, but it's also led to, maybe not directly related, but some outwardly frustrated moments for Garrett Wilson along the way. We see that on TV. We can only listen to what he says into a microphone. You spend more time around him. Talk to me about what's going on in Garrett Wilson's head right now for this season, and if Rodgers and Adams are back as a duo next year, what's the trickle-down effect, and how do you think that works for Garrett?
Well, listen, you got to find a way to feed Garrett Wilson. He is a talent. I mean, he's a young, up-and-coming talent that needs to be fed. I mean, before the beginning of the season, he was the most targeted player, I think, in the NFL. And now he has 7 targets, and a lot of those came in the final drive in garbage time, really, last game. They've got to find a way to feed Garrett Wilson. And, yes, I understand Devontae and Rodgers have a connection, and he's at 499, and Devontae caught the 200 and 400th pass, and they want him to catch the pass. But it doesn't matter. You got to win games, and you got to figure out how to get this young star in here, or else you're going to lose Garrett, because, like you said, he's confused. He, I mean, like he says in the interviews, he doesn't know why he's not being fed the ball more. So, I mean, they say all the right things, Aaron, and the offensive coordinator and all that stuff. But if I'm the new GM and the new head coach, I'm finding a way to make him happy because he's your future and he's a foundational piece that you need.
All right, last one for me, Janae Coakley from SNY on the Jets. I was there when Favre came in for the 1 year. I was covering the team that year. I was there covering the team when Rex came in, and then I departed. But what I did sense around the organization when Rex came in, it really felt like a fresh start. And I was there for that press conference, and he was speaking authoritatively, and we're going to get this team and that team. And it was such a great feeling around the organization. What do you think, once this season ends, how fast do you think they move? And what do you think it's like around the building once the season's over? It's almost like a sense of relief, excitement. What do you think?
I think a little bit of everything. Like, oh, here we go again. Like, oh, my gosh, we can do this. I think they're going to take their time. They really are vetting everybody. They're not going to jump in and just get the next shiny new piece. I think they're really Mike Tannenbaum's in charge of helping, you know, the search. I think they're just going to take their time and get the best guy. Here's the deal. You guys have been part of New York media. You've been part of New York. You need to have a coach who understands the New York market. And you have to understand that you just can't come in and change the culture. You're not going to change it. You have to figure out, understand. I think that's why Aaron Glenn, I think, might be a great guy to look into because he's played in New York. He understands New York. He gets New York. And he's been part of a culture change in Detroit. So I think the Jets are really taking their time. I think they're going to do their due diligence, do their homework. I don't know if they'll hire a coach and then a GM, if they'll hire a GM first. I think they're trying to figure out that right now. But I think this has been a really tough year. And like I said, this has been one of the toughest years I've covered just because of all the hype and all the excitement and all the letdown. I mean, if someone would have told me they would have won 4 games this season, I would have been, nah, not this year, guys. I get years past, but not this year. This year, they can break that playoff hope.
All right, Janae, I've saved the real hard-hitting stuff for the end here. And Janae and I bonded when I was covering the Jets on the beat because we're both Quinnipiac alum, which is awesome. So, yeah, exactly. Though, you know, you were Braves, I was Bobcats, not to out you or anything like that. We've discussed that as well. So it's been, I think, 7 or 8 years for me. I've got to know, you're on the way to the facility on a Friday morning. Are we still doing Pizza Fridays in Florham Park for the media?
Oh, CeeLo, no. The Jets food... top notch.
Wow.
We get from the cafeteria. Great food. They win. I mean, if they win the Super Bowl every year when it comes to food that they serve us. It is fabulous. I mean, we get like crab cake sometimes and salmon. And their soup is phenomenal.
I remember the food being good on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but Friday was usually reserved for pizza. So now they're going gourmet for the entire week. That's impressive. I give them credit for that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's fantastic, let me tell you. And just so you know, CeeLo, I was a Quinnipiac Brave, and then I switched over my junior, senior year to a Bobcat.
Oh, so you got both? Okay, I had forgotten that, so there you go.
I was a college, then a university. I got a little bit of both.
You got the best of both worlds. Excellent. Well, we appreciate you joining us in the midst of your Friday morning commute today. So safe travels to Florham Park. Safe travels to Orchard Park in Buffalo this weekend. And we appreciate it. And great job all year long covering another dumpster fire that has been the Jets season, Janae.
There's always next year, right, guys? Always next year.
Exactly. There's always next year. We're running out of next year's, Janae. Thank you. Janae Coakley from SNY. I give her credit, man. That is a tough... I only did it for... I do the Jets 3 years, I think. I think three, if I remember correctly. And I did get the Favre year, which was fun for 12 weeks.
Right.
But man, it's hard. It's a tough, tough job.
And it's easy for us to sit and watch on TV. And, you know, in her spot, you've really... It's delicate. You got to pick your spots because people say, whoa, the team's terrible. You got to ask tougher questions, this, that, and the other thing. But she's there all week long and not even beyond that because the people that cut, you know, write for the outlets like the Brian Costellos, the Rich Cimini's of the world, like, yeah, of course, there needs to be a dynamic, a relationship with players, coaches, because you're there covering the team regularly. But she's even beyond that because she's at SNY and they have a contract with the Jets. They do a lot of the shows throughout the week and they're doing one-on-one interviews, exclusive stuff. So, like, you know, she really has to strike a balance of having a relationship, a positive one, with everyone in the building, but at the same time trying to do her job and getting the information out there to the fan base, being fair, being balanced. So it is very, you're right, Jerry. We don't give them enough credit. It is very difficult. So she does a tremendous job and has for quite a while now, 15 years. It's a good run.
And those interviews off the field, I always tell this story, and Sal has told it too, when we used to do shows together, when he would have to go down when we did the Columbia football for, I guess he did it with me for 7 years. And we had the idea of doing the coach interview right off the field, and he was going to go down. And I don't think he will tell you to this day, he never realized how difficult that is, especially after a loss.
100%.
Because they don't, as good as they are to you before the season begins, man, in that moment when they just lose a game, the last thing they want to see is a microphone in their face. And he'd be like looking at me like, do I have to go down there?
Petrified.
Yes, you do, Sal. Yeah. That's what you signed up for. Yeah. So he knows it more than anyone. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. Pat Boyle, one more time. We'll get to your calls as well. 888-808-1019. It's CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, coming up on 9:30, it is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Built for Tub Studio, 888-808-1019 is the number. Pat Boyle's had a nice run this week. Now, I would say this is your final appearance, but it's not, because you're going to come back on the other side with your rendition of Cool Games, which we'll run through the league a little bit. But until then, we do have your final report of the morning.
That's right. If I may, what happened to the television? There we go.
Nothing happened.
We're back from commercial, which we usually don't like to point out, as you just did.
Well, no, they usually have the Boomer, loading screen, if you will.
All right, well.
The intermission
here,
screen.
They're here now, which is all that matters.
No, it wasn't a shot at all against TV. It was dark, and normally when I've been waiting for us to come back from commercial break from TV,
yourself?
No, not even. There's just like the Boomer and Geo like loading screen. So I was just confused. I didn't know if something happened.
The loading screen. Love that.
Yeah. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Thursday night football, Seahawks beat the Bears 6-3 in a game with zero touchdowns. I'll let Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit on Amazon Prime sum it up.
Seattle beat Chicago earlier this year, 6-3.
And a soccer day?
The Mariners beat the White Sox in Chicago on July 29th. There you go. History repeats.
Oh, man. Did they ever go 6-6 and go to extra innings?
Ooh, baby.
Yeah. By the way,
no one could have been more miserable than Al Michaels sitting there in Chicago.
He's got some good ones this year, which have made up for, I feel like, the last 2 years of crap.
No, but they have had some bad ones, too, though.
Yeah, well, that's what you get. Final one, 6-3. No touchdowns.
Going out with a bang.
Speaking of Amazon, they picked the winner of the game, each week, as everybody does. Richard Sherman had the worst record, so I came across this. As punishment, they made him jump in an ice bath for 30 seconds. Mm. Ryan Fitzpatrick jumped in there with him shortly after.
Well, it's chilly, guys. No baby back
there. Get down there.
He's suffering.
I'm down there with him.
Fitz is a lunatic. Jerry, so they're outside, basically in the end zones after the game, and Sherman stripped down to, he's got compression leggings on and nothing up top, as if he's getting in the ice bath after practice or whatever.
I'm watching it now.
And Fitz, fully clothed, just jumps right in there with him. No hesitation, no complaints. He's a lunatic. He really is.
When Sherman got out, then Fitz goes basically reverse cannonball underneath, so fully submerged.
Submerged. Immersed is different, but submerged.
I tell you, that's a good punishment.
Yeah.
That is a good punishment.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of warm, I feel like, for Chicago. It was 38.
Kind of warm. Well. Yeah, it could have been worse, yes. So, there goes Fitz, Jerry. Put the mic down. He's going to get right in there.
Those are some close quarters, too.
Yeah, look at him. Look at the look on his face. He's just he's a full-fledged lunatic.
Pretty funny.
Excellent follow on X, by the way.
Yeah, and the caption... Well, what is?
Fitz. He's good. He puts a lot of stuff out there.
Well, I came across that on Awful Announcing, and the caption was, Ryan Fitzpatrick dominated Richard Sherman in the ice bath.
He did. Sherm wanted no part of it.
Well, man, it sounds like you're going down the wrong rabbit hole in Pornhub. Dominated Richard Sherman in the ice bath.
A swing and a miss.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Seattle now nine. That's all right. Seattle now 9-7. They snap a mini two-game losing streak. Half game back of the Rams for the NFC West. Game and a half back of the Commanders for the last wild card spot in the NFC. If the Rams lose to the Cardinals tomorrow, it'll be a winner take all for the NFC next week. And if the Rams beat the Cardinals, Seattle still needs a handful of teams to win so that the strength of victory.
You really love these tiebreakers, don't you?
Well, I'm just, like, I don't know. That's what they show the graphic for the teams that are in the playoff, in the hunt, every single week from basically November 1st on. And now I'm giving it just straight from the source.
You've got Jerry in full boomer mode over there. He's watching a Happy Gilmore 2 teaser with no sound. checked out.
But no, I'm good.
Oh, my God.
I'm good. Right. I heard the tiebreaker scenario.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, sorry. Bears, by the way, 10 losses in a row. They're 4-12 on the season. Figured we'd come back I thought we were going to do cool games in this segment. We're going to do it next segment.
Correct.
So I guess I can then continue on with the NFL. Triple header Saturday tomorrow for week 17. Chargers at the Patriots. Broncos at the Bengals. Big implications in this one. Denver wins. They're in and they eliminate Cincinnati. Bengals obviously need to beat them, beat the Steelers next week, and hope the Broncos lose to the Chiefs. Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase has fed families this year. There's only one problem tomorrow. Pat Surtain, arguably the best lockdown corner in the game right now, standing in the way.
He's so patient when he's covering people. He never panics. He uses his length and his size to his advantage. He makes it tough. He's never just going to get beat clean, super clean. You know, he's going to make you make a great throw and catch.
And then the aforementioned Rams-Cardinals game tomorrow night.
How about the Dolphins-Browns? You want to give me the Dolphins scenarios? I mean, they're alive. They're in the hunt.
Yeah, they have to win out. They need some help.
There you go. That's a very succinct way of summing it up, and it's accurate, by the way.
That's okay.
Very good.
Well, I don't know the exact time. I know that Cincinnati gets in if they win two in a row and the Broncos lose two in a row.
Yeah.
But anyway, Giants trying to avoid a winless season at home, already riding a franchise worst 10-game losing streak.
Such a tough spot.
It's been a great hashtag, Giants 100, 100th season.
Sorry to interrupt, we're running a promo for the game with Paul Turner, where it's like, Giants trying to avoid a dubious record. Like, that's never happened before in the NFL.
Yeah, tremendous.
Yeah, Brian Daboll, he wants that W.
We're trying to get a win in any way, shape, or form. I can understand, you know, coming to a game and watching your team not win, that's no fun. It's certainly no fun for anybody involved, and we're doing everything we can to try to do that, you know, for us, but also, you know, people that come out and support us.
No, but it's actually going to be fun if they lose. Like, it should be celebrated.
That's why he's in such a tough spot.
Well, this has got to be another week where by kickoff you can get tickets for $1, right, on the second. Right now it's at 10.
Yeah.
It was 11 yesterday.
You'll be able to get a 6.
It's dropping.
You'll get a 6er.
There was a couple weeks ago, there was a $1 ticket available.
Is the weather at least decent Sunday or no?
Because I know it's supposed to get a little milder the next few days, but I think maybe with some rain.
So
Sunday,
unappealing.
57.
Yeah, but
20% chance of rain, 15-mile-an-hour wind.
20%?
That's a pretty good
I'm
day.
I'm seeing 80% here. Well, it's all.
I got the old Google machine telling me that.
Speaking of weather and the sky.
You can get really good seats
for
$60.
Yeah, if you want to go watch Anthony Richardson and
I know.
Which, by the way, optimism that he is going to indeed suit up on Sunday. Malik Nabers' game day decision.
What were you going to say?
Did either of you, Jerry, maybe specifically because of you and I have similar commutes in, did you catch the moon on the way in?
No.
Moon? You got a good moon?
So normally, you know, sometimes early in the night, moon will be low in the sky big.
Sometimes you shoot over Manhattan.
So this is like, 4:45 in the morning, and it was extremely low, and it was one of the crescent.
Like the honey sure it wasn't a drone?
And very red. I'm positive it wasn't a drone.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
You don't normally see that at nearly 5 a.m. It stood out to me. It's the point I actually stopped. There was no cars around me, so on Jerry, on the Turnpike extension, because I didn't take the Pulaski, I actually stopped after the toll booth right around the Liberty Science Center. Full stop in the middle of the highway to take a picture. Yeah.
See?
I mean, you know, with the moon never comes out great in the...
I talk tiebreakers.
It's kind of cool, right?
You're talking about the moon.
Yeah.
Jerry, you're not checked out on this?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the picture doesn't do it justice.
It looks like the moon.
The moon.
It never does. It's never as good on the phone.
I've seen it every night for 30 years.
I know, but again.
Mike, I think you're right.
It
could be a drone.
It was like right. It's not a drone.
I know.
It was right on the horizon. Very large. I don't know. It just stood out to me. It caught my attention.
Very
anyway,
cool.
Moving on.
Jets and Buffalo to play the Bills back in week 6 when they played each other. The first time it was interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich's first game in charge. He feels he's come a long way since.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was nerve-wracking. It was overwhelming. It was fun. It was exciting. It was all those things. Every emotion that you could imagine, I felt, and it was a blur in a lot of ways. Since then, I felt like I've settled in, and I'm getting much more comfortable in this role. But yeah, it was definitely a whirlwind that night.
Yeah, just another few more weeks now, and he'll be fully.
What's on your phone?
I can't take it.
No, I was going to move on to some of the other games this week. Cowboys, Eagles, and Philly. And this just came down 10 minutes ago. Eagles quarterback Kenny Pickett prepared to play with Jalen Hurts still in concussion protocol. That's from Tim McManus and Schefter.
So by the way, did you see the report where one of the I forget who it was in Dallas that wrote like Mike McCarthy could leave now.
What do you mean he could leave?
Well, so his contract's up.
Yeah.
And the whole thing has been all season long. Are the Cowboys going to give him a new contract? Are they going to move on from him? Mm-hmm. And Jerry Jones has been very complimentary of him all season long.
Has he flipped the roles now?
Now they've gone from 3-7 to 7-8.
Thanks, but no.
And there's the notion of, oh, good, I'm a free agent. Gotta go.
Yeah, right.
And they can be left without a coach.
Pay me, bitch.
That's right.
By the way, as you've been running down this week 17 schedule for us, a real barn burner coming up in Jacksonville, the Jaguars and the Titans. I guess there's some rain in the forecast. So there was video floating around yesterday. It's just video, not audio to play. The Titans running backs coach, Randy Jordan, was legit with a hose in hand, spraying down the players working on ball security.
I believe
Think about the Titans are what, 3-12?
Yeah,
imagine being
win.
At that practice right now. But we're going to go play the division rival Jaguars. I'm getting sprayed down with a hose here outside of practice in Nashville before we head down to Jacksonville for a meaningless week 17.
That's accountability. That's the type of culture that teams talk about. Yeah, stuff like that.
Worked out well for Joe Judge when he did that mud thing.
Exactly what I was going to say. It only works when you win.
Three and 12 against 3-12. AFC South, get excited.
I think what's worse, that game or was it Raiders Saints? Or the Raiders, it's not even like the Raiders are playing for the number one pick anymore. They already ruined it.
That's a pretty bad one.
And I think it's going to be Spencer Rattler again for New Orleans either way.
Oh, my God.
I want to hit a couple local stuff because I got a good Mookie Betts clip. So Nets beat the Bucks 111-105. No Giannis, no Dame from Milwaukee. Cam Johnson, 29 points for Brooklyn. They're now 12-18. Rutgers lost the right bowl to Kansas State, 44-41.
They need to rename that bowl.
I agree.
No, that's nice.
Rate bowl.
I know you said it correctly. It's just if you're not listening closely, it's
doesn't sound
great. It's not great.
No. Suck my left nut.
Nets again tonight, back to back against Wembanyama and the Spurs. Could get Cam Thomas back. Knicks in Orlando to play the Magic. And Devils, the only local hockey team. All right, so we've got that done. Found this a few minutes ago. Mookie Betts was on The Heartbeat. That's Kevin Hart's podcast. You had Kenan Thompson there as well. They asked him about the World Series exchange in Game 4 where Yankees fans, you know, ripped the ball out of his glove. And Kevin Hart basically said, you know, I know you had to do a PR answer. He goes, you can tell us how you really felt. So here's Mookie Betts.
I would really say, you guys.
Hey!
Yeah. I get try and get the ball, cool.
Right.
But, like, you tried to grab my like, you tried to, like, you tried, I was in the moment. So I thought about throwing a ball at him. And then I realized, Mook, you ain't going to do you ain't going to do go back to right field.
Wow. Okay.
How was the editing on that, by the way?
That was good. Jerry told you to go
nice job.
Work on your editing, and you did.
Oh, yeah.
You took that note. And constructive criticism, and you put it in play here.
I don't want to make it about me. Do we care about what Mookie said or no? I mean, it's pretty
boring. At this point, no. But, I mean, it's nice to hear him actually speak honestly now.
It's about what you'd expect.
Yeah. And I don't blame him, to be honest.
Kevin Hart, does he have like a live studio audience there for his podcast?
It sounded like it.
Interesting.
I didn't care to read too much into it. It did sound like it was a live podcast audience. I don't know if that's how he does it every time. I feel like out of all the podcasts that we are inundated with now, I seen or heard that one by now.
Can't keep up. Everyone's got one. I don't, but everyone
a lot of podcasts.
Does. Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready for moment of the day?
Yes.
Okay. Moment of the day.
Yeah, I go with moving right along, which Gio loves. Pat just likes the awkward silence. Funny. Go ahead.
Moment of the day brought to you by the family Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, remind you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
Moment of the day.
Yeah, you guys don't. Don't want to do the scream.
No, I don't like the scream, but that is their thing.
Okay, so basically, I came in about 9:15. I was like, Fleeks, what should we do for moment of the day?
Oof.
Yeah, I didn't have one because I was. I spent about a solid 15 minutes cutting up that Mookie Betts clip. So I just went back and, you know, you pressed me on the bowel movements and the looks like the mini stomach virus I might have had yesterday and recapped it with Moose. So that, here we go.
You misled us a little bit yesterday. You left part of the story out about your whole stomach ailment from Christmas and that whole thing.
Okay.
You left out the part where you're lactose intolerant because you were like, too much dairy. And I figured, you just overdid it a little bit on Christmas. But you knowing, because I heard, I was driving home yesterday.
Heard and Moose.
Heard Moose essentially interrogating you on the air about this.
Big time.
So you lactose intolerant and knowingly went overboard with the dairy. See, that's on you.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Your error.
Okay.
You went out there.
I used to take I
went. Ate too much dairy.
I did go out there.
You went out there.
Dairy.
What were you thinking?
I'm thinking this cheese looks really good.
But you're lactose intolerant.
And I'm going to have some.
You're like, if I have a piece of cheese, I can survive. Because you went overboard. You just ate too much.
What do you want me to do, man? It was Christmas. I'm not going to not.
Exercise some restraint.
That's your error.
Yeah, it was your error.
I have none.
So this sounds like you were basically just trying to impress the new gal. Let me eat all this stuff that she brought. Lactose intolerance aside.
I'm a slut for some good cheese and meat. That's what it comes down to, and I couldn't stop myself. So I'm sorry.
Okay. Did you stay with you that night?
We went back to my apartment. Yes.
Wow.
And then you had the night you had.
Yeah. Yeah. She got
a nice dose of reality of Pat Boyle.
That's an early test of the relationship right there. Yeah,
couple bowl blasters. Moment of the day. By the way, we got breaking
meats and cheeses.
Yeah, we got breaking news per John Heyman.
Right off of that great
clip.
What do we got? Pete Alonso to the Mets?
Gleyber Torres to the Tigers.
It's so funny. I was driving in this morning. I'm like, what's happened to him?
Nothing.
Where's he signing? All right, go ahead. What's the term?
That's classic Heyman. It just says breaking Gleyber Torres to Tigers.
He spells name correctly?
He did. He got all the spelling correct. So I guess he can believe
all the
that
proper capitalization, too.
Yes.
That's all right, Pat, good job.
Fit. Don't they still have Javier Baez there, too? Is he under contract?
So. No one cares. Okay. When we come back, you're going to do cool games or choke on the air, one or the other.
We're just falling apart here.
And then we'll wrap things up as long as you're breathing okay. We'll take a quick break, come back with Pat. Cool games, go down the NFL slate as well.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, the guys are out. They'll be back next week. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're about 4 hours late with this, usually every Friday at, a little more than that, at 5:20. Al Dukes and myself, we go over the slate in the NFL for something we call Cool Games. Now, Al's not here to sing the intro, but Pat Boyle did volunteer to sit in for Al, and then we'll go over the games of the week. So without further ado, if you can hit the music, Rami, and I'll point to you when to start singing. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right, ready?
Go.
Time for your Cool Games. Al and Jerry, they got your cool games. That time for your cool games. Al and Jerry, they got your cool
big finish
games.
All right, fade it out, Rami, please.
Windows are breaking.
By the way, very good. That was fine. We don't have a lot of time. Here we go. Here are the rules for cool games. We're not doing game picks like me, Boomer, and Geo usually do, but what games are cool on the docket? For it to be a cool game, you've got to actually want to sit and watch the game start to finish, not just be like, seems interesting. Game number one, which is tomorrow, the Chargers in New England against the Patriots. We can agree.
No.
Okay. Not a cool game.
I agree. Denver in Cincinnati.
Yes.
I agree.
Cool game.
Yes, I agree. That's one. Arizona in L.A. against the Rams.
Not cool enough. If Arizona did.
I agree. Interesting, not cool. I don't know that I'm watching this game.
I agree.
Okay, great. We move to Sunday. So far, we've got one. 1 o'clock window. Jets at Bills.
No.
1 o'clock window. No. Raiders, Saints.
No.
Exactly. No. All right, game number three. Colts Giants.
No, we're moving on.
No. How about Cowboys Eagles at one?
Nope.
No.
I agree.
If it was Jalen Hurts,
and the Cowboys are out of it.
No. Yeah.
So I would agree there. So we're 0 for 4 in the 1 o'clock window on Sunday.
Get excited.
How about
a team that is in it, the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
Wow. Rami at home. Ready with that one.
Well done, Rami. At home against the Panthers.
No.
No.
Okay. We're not doing good here.
No.
How about, to wrap up the 1 o'clock window, the Titans and Jaguars.
Oh, my God, no. With the rain and the spray hose,
might
no.
be cool to check in on because of the rain, but that's not
a good
thing. Who knows
if it's even
going
to rain? I mean, come
oh,
on,
this is
cares.
Brutal. All right, here we go. We move to the 4 o'clock window where usually we get good games. The first one, Miami in Cleveland.
No.
No shot.
How about Green Bay at Minnesota?
Yes.
Hey. That's the saving grace of this, of
all
Sunday.
Right. Got so it. Now we got two now that we're going to watch. You got one tomorrow, one Sunday. Sunday night, usually it's a good one. Washington versus Atlanta.
I'm going to say yes because of the Michael Penix factor.
Okay, what do you think?
Absolutely. Penix versus Jaden Daniels. Both teams, obviously, Commanders probably going to be in the playoffs. Falcons yeah. fighting with the Bucs for the NFC South. Cool game for me.
I was kind of on the fence, but you guys sold me. That's fine. So that gives us three. We now have two. And then the Monday night game, I think on the surface, looks better than it is. But there is a lot at stake, depending upon what happens on... Well, no, there's still a lot at stake. The Lions in San Francisco.
No, sorry, I can't. San Francisco's a disaster this year. They got a million guys out. No.
I've watched a lot worse games than this. I will say cool game because of what the Lions are playing for. And even
so
though
you're stopping
Niners,
what you're doing Monday night to watch this game?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I'm not saying I won't watch it.
I'm with you.
I don't think it's must-watch.
I stopped
interested
what
in
I was
Lions.
Doing on Monday to watch Packers-Saints. I think maybe I have a problem.
Yeah, I would say you do.
Ready for the out? Hit
admitting
the music,
the problem
Rami.
Is the first part.
You got to wrap it up.
Okay.
Ready? One, two, and three. Go. Now, right now.
Those were...
Oh, my God.
Your cool games. Alan Jerry just
well,
brought
here,
you...
But.
Your cool games. Those were your cool games. Alan Jerry just brought you
okay.
your cool